The dream. The hope is universal, as universal as man. The dream and the hope of life, life that never ends. The life eternal. I'm sure that is your dream and that is your hope. Strangely, it is the dream of practically everyone, even of those who do nothing but mess up their life, make garbage of it and its activity. I want to live. You want to live. But how shall we live? How shall we inherit? How shall we obtain eternal life? That's the most important question of all. That dream and that hope is very real. How shall we obtain eternal life? Our Lord Jesus tells us about it. And it's important. You see, on a given instance, the Lord was approached by a lawyer, a student of the laws of Moses. He presented himself as being very astute, very clever. For he tempted the Lord. He was going to try him. And he put that very question, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How did Jesus answer him? Jesus didn't fall into the trap. He knew the trap that was being set. He said to him, and that's fielding the ball beautifully, what do you read? What do you, a lawyer of the scriptures, know? The lawyer was on the spot. Well, he knew the Lord said, the law demanded, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And you should love your neighbor as yourself. Beautiful. That's it. And Jesus said, do that and you shall live. Keep doing it. That's what the tense clearly says. Keep doing it. Not just once in a while, do it perfectly. We heard in the epistle that if it were possible indeed, a person could be saved by the law, if it were possible, if he were capable. And when Jesus said, you do that perfectly, you keep doing that all the time, he meant exactly that. Of course, we realize, and this lawyer clearly began to read, he couldn't do it perfectly. He couldn't keep doing it to the satisfaction of the Lord God who gave the commandment, who set the standard of perfection, who said, you shall be perfect, you shall be holy. Even as I, the Lord your God, am holy. The lawyer was embarrassed, naturally. And so he thought he'd come on with another question, and that question fits right in with the first. He said, who is my neighbor? The evangelist said he wanted to justify himself. He was looking pretty stupid in front of all these people. For his answer was, after all, a universal one known to all of those who knew Moses, who knew the Decalogue, who knew the law of God. But so he shifted it a bit and says, who's my neighbor that I must love as myself? Then came that beautiful parable, that beautiful story of the Good Samaritan. And with that, Jesus also wanted to bring to bear upon this lawyer and upon all of us how absolutely insufficient and incapable we are of saving ourselves and obtaining life everlasting through our own deeds. For in this particular account of the Good Samaritan, Jesus points out the weaknesses of men. You know, it's so simple, you've heard it many times. The man falling among robbers who came and beat him and robbed him and stripped him and left him naked and half dead unconscious. They certainly weren't neighbors. And we know that. That's the grossest and crassest form of inhumanity and violation of the law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But then come those who should know better, just like this lawyer, the priest, who not only was supposed to know the law, but was supposed to lead in the keeping of the law and in the presenting of the law of what was right, and also an assistant in the temple, a Levite, who knew better too. They took one look and hurried past. For whatever reasons they had, we're not sure. Maybe they were afraid. Maybe they just didn't want to be involved. You know, that's the same thing today, isn't it? Nobody wants to be involved. So they hurried on. And then came that despised Samaritan, who was an enemy really to the man that was lying there half dead and unconscious. And lo and behold, that Samaritan who was supposed to be such a lost, such an outcast, not a member of the house of Israel, he is the one who showed mercy, who had compassion, who went up without any fear, who quickly gave first aid. First aid at that time was olive oil and wine, alcohol. And he tied up his wounds and put him on his beast, his donkey, and carried him to the inn. And you know, he paid for him there, and he had to go on his business, but he didn't forget. He took care of the expenses. And he said, if there's more, when I come back, I'll pay you. This was an example of real perfect love toward a neighbor. You can see the lawyer was being totally condemned. At this point, he was completely deflated. He realized, I'm sure, that he had been barking up the wrong tree. He was not going to ever make life, eternal life, by the keeping of the law, either the relationship to God or to his neighbor. When Jesus said to him, now who do you think was the neighbor? He gave the right answer. He had to. He knew it. And in giving it, he was condemning himself, just as you and I condemn ourselves when we would give the same answer. Try as we will, try as we might, we cannot save ourselves. It is not possible. In a certain way, we can look upon the Good Samaritan. We can call him our Good Samaritan. For through our inability to keep the law as God wants us to keep it, we lie there beaten and bludgeoned by the enemy Satan along the road and pathway of life. There we lie helpless and unconscious in our sin and in our shortcomings. We cannot save ourselves. There's no way. There is only one way, and that is if someone has mercy upon us in our Good Samaritan, who is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God himself. He came, and he looked upon man lying, fallen and hurt and bruised by sin along the pathway of time, and he had compassion upon us all. And the promise that was given to Abraham already, that promise of grace, the promise of forgiveness, the promise of help, became a reality. For the Lord Jesus Christ, whom really by nature we considered our enemy, for that's what the Apostle Paul says, while we were yet enemies, Jesus died for us. He sacrificed himself. He is the great Good Samaritan. Oh, how blessed it is that he had this compassion upon us, that he looked upon mankind, upon you and me, lying there so helpless, and that he was willing to spare nothing, to give us not only first aid, but perfect everlasting aid, so that by faith in him, by the acceptance of Jesus, our great and wonderful Samaritan, we have fulfilled the law. For as Christ, as the Apostle says, Christ is the end of the law. to those that believe. He is the fulfilling of the law. In Christ, it's all together by his grace. We are safe. And how wonderful that our Lord, who left and returned to the throne of his glory, told, "Don't worry, I'll be back." And again he comes with his grace in the Holy Supper and he says, "Here I am. Believe me. I give you my peace and my forgiveness and my love and my healing and my help." How great it is. Amazing grace. Our good Samaritan, our good and gracious, marvelous Savior. Give thanks to him. And as you kneel at the altar, let him come again. True, really present. Let him come to heal you completely. Amen.